Pressing Coverage Podcast. As always, I am your co-host, Mason, and I'm joined, as always, by my beautiful co-host, Max Wiener. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, you're too kind. Yeah, you know, just when you go into the hibernation for 6 months for winter, you know, it just a lot of things change, but you know, things stay the same as well.
Yeah, you know, we've both have been working pretty hard, and unfortunately, you know, we fell off our podcast.
It's all Mason's fault, by the way.
It is. I'm so sorry, guys. But, you know, we're back, and we're going to be better than ever.
Hopefully.
We got that
probably.
Cheddar is cheddar. We're going to be making...
Well, you do. I don't.
Well, okay. Again, everything is my fault. But anyways, we're going to do our best to keep up the pod grind for all you listeners. So stay tuned with us. Stick with us. We know we've been kind of inconsistent, but we're working on that. We got good things coming down the pipeline. So, Max, obviously it's been a while. So much has happened. Your Philadelphia Eagles
fly
won their first Super
Eagles
Bowl ever.
Fly.
And so, funny story. I FaceTimed Max immediately after this happened. After one of the best, most entertaining Super Bowls in a while. From just not even just the game, but the commercials were great too, and all the reveals were so incredible. And shout out to the Tide Pod to the Tide commercials. And I FaceTimed Max. And funny thing is, Max was in across the pond in the UK actually, and I just find that super ironic and hilarious. But he stayed.
I should
up
leave the country more often. Yeah, 5 a.m. 5 a.m. It was it was a long day. I was in It was actually a true story. Best sports day of my life. Best sports day of my life. So far, hopefully, if better than that, damn, that'd be awesome. But I was in Liverpool to see my Tottenham Hotspurs play for the first time in my life, and it was a fantastic match. Then took a train over to London and stayed up till 5 a.m. to watch my Beagles not break my heart, which is surprising because they're really good at that. Mason can confirm my text messages were probably the most. I was convinced we were gonna lose. I was like, this is it, and somehow we didn't mess things up.
I was even like, you know, we've seen Tom Brady down in the fourth quarter so many times before. We know how this ends. But also, then there was the strip fumble, and we were like, oh my god, is it over? But then they kicked the field goal, and then there was the Hail Mary.
Oh, I was convinced that was going to be caught.
I was convinced they were going to catch it too. But anyways, all this happened in the past, far past, back in, you know, February. So let's
over a month ago, yeah.
A lot of stuff to catch up on. It is March, which is now trademarked by John Rosenstein. So
is it? Wow. Did that learn something new?
That is true. So yeah, we've got a variety of topics. We're just going to kind of power through. So. It's only fitting that it's March. We start off with talking about some March Madness. History was once again made, Max. Something,
and I was asleep for it.
I really did. I really never thought I would see in my lifetime. A 16 seed beat a 1 seed. I am sorry, Virginia. I was a believer, and I will die on this island, this take, that if DeAndre Hunter was healthy, the Cavaliers would have won. They lost their most talented player, and it was kind of, I'm sure people have read about it or heard about it elsewhere already, but it was kind of the perfect imperfect storm for Virginia. They do not do well against hot three-point stroking teams, and that's exactly what the Retrievers were doing. They were hot. Lyles played the game of his life, and they didn't have a guy that could lock him down. And so, unfortunately, I'm sorry, Tony Bennett, the Virginia curse appears to be lasting one more year. You guys still had an incredible, incredible historic ACC team, so I know that isn't much to hang your hat on after you get all-time upset, but man,
Mason,
what an all-time upset.
But could just be that UMBC are just they're just some good boys. They have the best mascot in all sports, the Retrievers. Did you watch their finals in their conference tournament?
No, I did not.
I literally turned it on, minute left to go, they hit a buzzer beater three to win it.
Of course they did.
So they're just some good boys. I cannot imagine how much attention and like marketing money and like merchandise they sold.
Oh,
they're gonna be a powerhouse for the rest of history. So, but
they'll get a 30 for 30. I mean, it's already gonna happen. I mean, and so there, like, there's, like, obviously we're not going to talk about all the games because we're not a strictly college basketball podcast, but shout out to me and Max for putting money on Arizona winning, and shout out to Sean Miller for getting kicked out in the first round. Shout out to the Cats, bear down. So
when you have the most common mascot in sports, it's bound that a Wildcat's going to lose, so.
Yeah.
Well, stuff.
Speaking of Wildcats, there are three, I believe, Wildcats left in the tournament, and two of them play each other. So, Max, real quick, let's just kind of talk about – let's just briefly run through all the eight games for the Sweet 16. So, starting in the South, we got Kansas State versus Kentucky, Wildcat on Wildcat action. Shout out to –
Cat on Cat.
Shout out to literally the Kentucky Wildcats going from what appeared to be the hardest region to the easiest run to the Final Four. Shout out to that. We also have Loyola Chicago. Shout out to the Ramblers. And, you know, if they make the Final Four, I wouldn't be surprised if they started getting every single Chicago basketball recruit.
Chi-Town ain't nothing to mess with,
Max,
to put it nicely.
Max just wanted to say that. That's the reason why he's on this pod.
100%. You got me.
Yes, and they're against the fighting Nevada Wolfpack. Go Lobos. And
which did you see the end of that game, the Nevada Cincinnati?
I switched the channel when they were down by a lot, and I switched it when they were only down by eight, and I genuinely cannot believe it just happened. And that was crazy.
The magic of the madness.
That's true. And in the West, we have the Florida State Cinnamon Rolls playing the Zags. And then we also have Michigan playing Texas A&M. And then we bounce over to the East. We have Villanova playing Huggy Bear. And the West Virginia Mountaineers, Country Roads Take Me Home. And then shout out to another Big 12 team. We have Texas Tech playing Purdue. And we also have Kansas versus Clemson. Shout out to the Tigers. And lastly, we have a great, great coaching rivalry between Syracuse and Duke with Coach K and Jim Boeheim. And it's going to be a very interesting Sweet 16. I mean, there are a lot of teams that I don't want to see go home. But, Max, I have to ask you, what's the one game that caught your eye the most? Which is the one that you will for sure be sitting on your couch, glued to your TV, for all 40 minutes of game time?
Oh, I think that's 100% Villanova, West Virginia. Just Press Virginia is such a fun team to watch in the tournament, in my opinion. And Big 12 forever, as I'm sure
Big
Mason would say.
Big 12 forever, yes.
And then Villanova, a fun team to watch. They totally annihilated Colin Sexton's Alabama.
Gosh.
So I think that they definitely have the chance. But this has been a tournament of, I don't know, there's always upsets in March, but I think that the upsets are not done with. Not very hot take.
Yeah.
But I think it's, if you were a one seed right now, I'd not be feeling comfortable.
It's true. For me, I was going to also say Villanova, West Virginia, just because I love Huggy Bear. Bob Huggins is just the guy. But Jay Wright is also the guy that's going to come to your house and, you know, and kidnap your mom and take her on some dates, wine and diner. So,
wow.
Jay Wright's the man. Like, I love watching Villanova play. And I think they've been pretty easily the best, if not the best college basketball program of the past 4 years.
But Mason,
yes.
Biggest point, it's Philadelphia's year.
That is true.
And
every
Nova
Philly,
Nation.
Philly forever. But I'm going to go with Texas Tech Purdue. And I know Isaac Haas, the Terminator, he fractured his elbow and he tried to come back and Purdue tried to graft a metallic elbow brace onto him. Shout out to the engineering school. But he's not going to play what appears to be for the rest of the tournament. And obviously Big 12 for forever. But Chris Beard's done an incredible job this year, and he's probably going to win NCAA Coach of the Year. But, man, I love watching Keenan Evans play. He's so much fun to watch. And I know that's the guy that everyone always points to when they're talking about Texas Tech basketball. But it's true. He is a ton of fun to watch play. And when he's hot, oh, man, is it fun. And the way that they switch on defense is just almost second to none in the Big 12. And, you know, I was able to watch a lot of Texas Tech basketball this year. And you know, good for those Dirty Sand Pirates out there in Lubbock.
Yeah,
they get a good sport. No, I'm just kidding. You know, they have a great baseball team out there. And Lubbock night football games are a ton of fun. But, man, like, this is so interesting to me because I thought for the longest time Purdue was the best team in the country. Even when they were going through their slump, they lost three in a row. I was like, you know, if they just start clicking right and Isaac Haas just throw him bows without getting called,
yeah, you just they're you set him up and he he's he's huge. Like you couldn't stop him if you got him the ball. And
but
yeah, he's
there are Purdue fans out there that might say, "Hey Mason, Purdue's better without Isaac Haas." And to that, I'd say, I don't think so. But listen, it's going to be a fun defensive matchup that we're going to see a group of players that have to kind of adapt the way that they play defense for both teams. Like Texas Tech has not had to play a team with this good of a big at all in Big 12 play, or I guess they won't have to because Haas won't be there. But another guy, Harn, I think is his name, with the incredible fraternity boy hair. They haven't been able to play a big like him so all season long. So it'll be exciting to see how they switch on him, how they guard the driving lanes and whatnot. But I'm excited for it. I really am excited for it. And who do I think is going to win? I think Purdue will come out at the end.
Big Ten.
Yes.
Best basketball conference in the country. Don't at me.
The conference that had four teams make the tournament versus the Big 12, which had seven teams make the tournament and has less teams, yes.
But you know who isn't good at basketball?
The Pac 12.
Oh, yeah. I don't even want to talk about
it. All right, Mason. Again. Just rattle them off. Final four, go.
Oh man. By the way, Matt Harms. That was the guy I was thinking of. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Okay. The final four.
Yep.
Okay, gun to my head. Kentucky, Villanova, and Duke. Michigan.
Oh, ooh, bold. Going with the big
Michigan's
blue.
Michigan's hot. But that being said, I think the national champion will be whoever wins the Villanova-Duke Final Four matchup. I mean, I think those are the two best teams right now. I mean, Marvin Bagley is a centaur. He has four legs. I can't see the other two. But Villanova, man, Villanova's just, man, I think they're just going to rain threes on whoever. And, I mean, Mikal Bridges is just an awesome player to watch, so shout out to him. Yeah, those are who I think the Final Four are, and that's why my pick is whoever wins Duke for Villanova. But then again, I could be wrong. I picked Arizona to win the national championship game. So what do I know?
Yeah, both of us did. Yeah. Who would have thought? Hindsight's 20/20.
Gosh, I'm sorry, Sean Miller, but
DeAndre Ayton, not the best way to go out. But
no,
this has been a bad tournament for NBA prospects.
Yes, it has. The best NBA prospect that is left, I would say, is, I mean, you could say it's Kevin Knox of Kentucky. Or you could say that it's Mikal Bridges of Villanova, but I mean, yeah, like a lot of the one and dones are gone. Trae Young, I'm so sorry, you deserve better. Trae Young, Mohamed Bamba, DeAndre Ayton. Oh, I'm sorry, I've totally forgot. No, Marvin Bagley's the most NBA ready prospect, I believe, that is left. So, you know, it has not been good for a lot of the one and dones. So, that being said, we're gonna see a lot of new faces in the NBA next year. It's going to be exciting, as always. I feel like we're in a great young talent boom right now. And, Max, speaking of young talent boom, there's another draft coming up.
That happens to be in the greatest city in the greatest state.
You're not wrong. Except that you didn't say it's not in Fort Worth, Texas, unfortunately. It's in Arlington, Agtown, Blacktown, as the locals call it. Let's talk about this NFL draft real quick.
Okay.
Let's just talk about it real quick.
Okay.
Free agency has happened. We'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. So we have a lot to cover over that we have missed. So we're kind of going little bite-sized clips at the moment, or bite-sized discussions. So in the future, we'll be able to go more in-depth about a lot of things. But, you know, we missed a lot. We're getting back in the schedule in the swing of things. So just bear with us. All right. The NFL draft. Max, the NFL draft wouldn't be anything without intriguing NFL quarterbacks. Prospects. And naturally, I'm probably one of the worst people to ask, not because I don't think I know what I'm talking about, but because I always try to see the upside and I try to be optimistic for every quarterback when I know that in the end, it's a lot of it has to do with the fit that you go to, and not every single quarterback transcends scheme fit like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, etc.
Wait, you mean every quarterback draft in the draft is not going to be the best quarterback in the league? Mason, what are you saying?
It breaks my heart.
Why do teams trade up and give up everything if that quarterback is not going to be the best thing ever?
I just want every team to be good, even though I know it'll never happen.
Teams be good if there was not bad teams to compare them to?
Well, no, I mean, like there's no record, like Like, your record doesn't mean you are bad, is what I meant to say, is, like, you could have a losing record, sure, but, like, if every single game was, like, the Rams-Eagles regular season game, or, like, the Patriots-Steelers regular season game, where it's just good football.
True.
Like, that's what I want. That's my dream. Very true. It'll never happen, because the NFL loves to get in its own way, and is slow to change. But anyways... Well, Mason,
there's the XFL. Get that. That'll fix everything.
Yeah, call me back whenever that actually happens.
2020, baby.
Anyways... Let's talk some rookies. Let's talk about some rookie quarterbacks.
Okay.
So the consensus top five quarterback prospects appear to be the Sam Darnold from USC, the Rosen one, Josh Rosen from UCLA, Josh Allen, the Wyoming rocket launcher from Wyoming.
Really?
Baker Mayfield from the University of Oklahoma. There's only one. And Lamar Action Waxon. Flaxon Jackson from University of Louisville. Maybe you've heard of him. And what's really interesting is that two of those have won a Heisman. And of one of those two quarterbacks that have won a Heisman in this year's draft class, one of them is asked to be switched to receiver. Now, Max, I want to know what your honest take on this is. What do you – because I'll give you mine, but I want to hear what you have to say about NFL GMs and NFL teams asking Lamar Jackson to consider playing wide receiver at the next level.
I think it's stupid. Straight up, like, this guy won the Heisman playing quarterback, and you want him to switch positions? One of the best mobile quarterbacks of all time, Michael Vick, has said that Lamar Jackson was better at things during his college career than he was. I just don't get it. It's, like, they know more about football than me, yeah, but I don't think
you... Do they? Who are the GMs that asked him to do that? Like,
Who are they? I don't know. It could have been one of those, like, how he reacts questions to see if he'd freak out, like...
Yeah, I mean, and, like, it is not unusual for teams to, like, ask, like, defensive ends to play do linebacker drills and whatnot, but that's bullshit. I'm sorry, pardon my language, but that's bullcrap. I mean, yeah, I mean, here's my take, and I genuinely believe that Lamar Jackson has every tool to succeed at the next level. He's an explosive athlete. And I have this long, long tangent about why I hate the Baker Mayfield comparisons to Russell Wilson. Yes, he's short, but is also a very efficient quarterback, but he is not anywhere close to the uber athlete that Russell Wilson is. And I'm not trying to be a Baker Mayfield hater. I watched him a ton. I respect all the work he's put in. However, I think he's got and he can do it. I know he can, because he's a crazy hard worker and a crazy competitor. But he's got to do a lot more to make up for his lack of athleticism. And that does not mean he's not an athlete. He's obviously more athletic than I am. But when you're at the NFL level, the highest level of football in the world, and you're with guys that are the fastest, the strongest, and the biggest, you have to be able to have some sort of athleticism to kind of counter that. And if you're not going to have that athleticism, you have to make up for it with precision, accuracy, quick release, literally just like what Tom Brady does. Telling a quarterback, hey, go be Tom Brady. That's tough. So, but anyways.
Just give him that TB12 diet.
That's my very, very, very brief. Michael Vick. You brought up Michael Vick. He was weighing in at 210 pounds at the combine.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson, 216 pounds. Lamar Jackson, 6'2", quarter and a quarter inches tall. Sorry, Michael Vick, 72 inches tall. That is 6 feet. So, yeah. Michael Vick, who was the best dual-threat quarterback of all time in the NFL, able to succeed, so why can't Lamar Jackson? Why can't he not succeed at quarterback? He's elusive in the pocket. He's got a rocket arm. He's not the most accurate quarterback in the draft, but, you know, neither is Josh Allen. Josh Allen's accuracy is horrible. I think if Lamar Jackson is put in the right scheme with a coach that believes in him at quarterback, and then he will be fine. Put him in the Jaguars and watch him rake with all those athletes. Watch him put up crazy stats with all those athletes. And what just makes me so upset is that this is – hey, Max, what's the difference between Lamar Jackson and Marcus Mariota? It's race. It is race.
Oh, okay. Wow. We're going there.
I mean, I genuinely believe it. I mean, like, if this was a white guy, no one would be asking him. And, yes, I know, Julian Edelman played quarterback in college, but he did not have near the impressive passing stats that Lamar Jackson had. And it's just really frustrating. And, again, it's kind of what I said. The NFL gets in its own way a lot. And this is, I feel like, another example. Lamar Jackson has all the tools to be an exciting quarterback at the next level. He just needs a coach and a scheme that will work for him. He went to the University of Louisville, to play in a pro-style scheme. That's why he went. He legitimately said that. And by college standards, it was a pretty complex offense. And yes, he is not a perfect, polished prospect, but he has the athleticism. He can be as athletic as Deshaun Watson. He can be as explosive as Deshaun Watson. He can avoid tackles like Russell Wilson. He can make plays with his legs like Cam Newton. So, you know, I want to see him succeed at the next level. Jacksonville, draft him.
Well, do you want me to tell you something that will make you even more excited about him?
Yes.
The mock draft that I'm looking at has him slotted going to at 27 to the New Orleans Saints.
That would be so exciting.
Learning behind Drew Brees and then getting to be under Sean Payton.
That'd be incredible. Wow. I think that would be the perfect place for Baker Mayfield because he can be like...
But he's in Drew... New Orleans.
That is true. But, I mean, they seem to be doing a good enough job there. So, I think Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in this draft. I think that he should be taken number one overall. Not a running back that, I don't know, maybe you're familiar with, named Saquon Barkley.
The greatest NFL prospect of all... I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Max is just dabbing all
over. He has a child on the way, so he's going to have that dad strength right when he gets in the league.
Are you being serious? Or
No, he literally has his girlfriend came out saying that she's pregnant.
Oh, well, good for her.
You heard it for first. No, like literally, it's on Instagram.
Oh, well, good for her and them. Breaking news here on the Press and Coverage podcast.
But can I say something, Mason?
Go for it, man. Shoot.
What are the New York Jets doing?
They want their quarterback at number three.
But you're going to get a quarterback at six.
Are you?
You'll get somebody.
Well, here's the thing, is that they want to ensure... Like, I mean, they want to ensure that they
but
get
you
their
just
pick
signed
of the
two quarterbacks in free agency.
Well, they're both on one-year deals, aren't they?
Yes, but you just gave up the farm, so you're now not going to be able to get anything around your quarterback.
Well, here, Max, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Remember when the Eagles gave up the farm for
Yes,
Carson Wentz?
I do, but they – Mason, correct me if I'm wrong. You called the Jets the most talent-devoided team in the league, correct?
I did. I legitimately did, and I stand by that take.
Yes.
Their coaching staff out-coached their asses this season and got them multiple wins, and that itself deserves, like, a pat on the back. Todd Bowles, good for you. Yeah, I think that, yes, it's this going from 6 to 3, and yes, they gave up 3 second-round picks to do that, and they swapped with 3 and 6, but, I mean, this way you ensure that you get one of your three guys. I mean, are we sure that the Giants are going to take a quarterback? I mean, I think they should, and I think that a quarterback will get taken at 2, but I don't know if the Giants will keep that pick, but this way they ensure that they get their guy, and if they love all the top 3 prospects, then sure. And they get to, if they take Josh Allen, they get to stash him behind Teddy Two Gloves, as well as McCown. And if it's Baker Mayfield, you do the same thing. And if it's Lamar Jackson, same thing, or whoever you want at 3. So
I just don't, at 6 you could have gotten, or one of the 3 of probably Quentin Nelson, the second best prospect. Yes, best guard, second best prospect in the draft. Bradley Chubb, the best defensive prospect in the draft, or even a guy like Derwin James, who I think you and I would agree that he's going to be a playmaker at the next level with how good Florida State defensive backs are.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Like, he's got all the tools. I love Derwin.
I just think you would have gotten, for what you gave up, you're losing too much value in the long term for what you're going to get.
Yeah, and I agree. This move accelerates their timetable, for sure. And I mean, the front office knows that. What is interesting to me is that why didn't they go for 2? Why didn't they go up to 2?
Yeah,
I mean, if I think it's probably because Indianapolis offered the best deal. Like, they didn't make them give up anything too crazy. Like, they gave up 2 second-round, I believe it's 2 second-rounders this year and then 1 next year.
Correct.
And I believe that's it. And the Jets are, I never thought I'd say this. The Jets are fascinating right now. And it's, I mean, again, we don't know who their guy is. I mean,
Whoever's left.
Well, here, I mean, let me ask you this: what if doomsday scenario happens? And I'm not saying I genuinely do not believe this will happen. If this happens, if this happens, this will be GMing malpractice. Max, I'm sorry, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if Barkley is taken at number one, that will be bad. That would be a very bad decision. Not saying that you shouldn't take
You have whoever falls through at number four, so why get your guy at one and you can get whoever's left at four, or trade out at four?
I don't even think Barkley should be taken at four. I think Barkley should be taken at, like, nine or seven. Not saying that he's not the best player in the draft, but here's the thing. You're going to be on another tangent. So I'm a Cowboys fan. I'll say it. It's painful, but Ezekiel Elliott was taken at number four.
Yes.
He was an immediate contributor. However, when you look at guys in that draft, you have guys like Joey Bosa. You have a guy that was taken fifth overall and is Jalen Ramsey, who I wanted more than anybody, is going to have a 10 to 12 year career in the NFL, barring injury, knock on wood. And I mean, I love Zeke. I think Zeke is an incredible player and that he fits the type of brand of football they want to play, but he cannot do a he can do a ton, but he cannot do as much as other positions. And he is the running back. I'm sorry, in the way that in the NFL now, the value is shifted so much. It is a quarterback's game. We so rarely see today running backs take over and single-handedly will NFL teams to victories. Like, the last time I saw that was, 2012, Adrian Peterson?
The only thing I could object to say that is the Jags are building for the future in this past year as an old-school ground-and-pound team with Leonard.
Yes, that's their identity.
Well, that is, yes. Is it because they had a fantastic defense and they could do that? Yes. But I think if he goes to the right situation, he could be an immediate game changer.
I think he'll be an immediate game changer wherever he goes. I think he's a transcendent talent for sure. However, I mean, gun to your head, who would you rather have, the best running back in the league or the best quarterback in the league? I think it's an easy decision.
Oh yeah, best quarterback, but
absolutely.
I agree. I think it's honestly, I don't think the Browns are gonna hold on to both those picks, knowing what they've done in the past drafts. I think if somehow one of those quarterbacks falls to four, I definitely think they'll take the best deal for somebody to move up and grab whoever that guy is. I don't think that'll happen, or somebody will move up to be able to get something. I could see the Bills wanting to move up.
Yeah, I believe the Bills have a chance to trade up, and I'm excited to see the team that we don't think is going to trade up that does trade up. Like, it always happens.
I could see later in the draft the Saints or Jacksonville.
That would be so exciting.
Of those five quarterbacks you listed, let's do top five picks.
Okay.
In the NFL draft, not considering trades, just based on how you think it's going to go.
Like, who?
Just like, here, do you want me to go first so you can see what I was saying?
Sure. Yeah. Let me. Who do you? So are you asking, who do I think will be, like, where will they be taken in?
Just like, what do you think the top five picks in the draft are going to be in order?
I got you. All right, you go for it. You go for yours.
Okay, I think it's going to be Darnold. Honestly, I don't know. I'm going to say Darnold, Allen, Rosen. I feel like the Browns, since they would have already gotten a quarterback, I think they're going to go Barkley. I know you don't agree with that, but I think they will. And then I think Nelson at five.
Okay. All right, so I got Sam Darnold to the Browns. I'm going to assume that there are trades, so I'm going to go with Darnold, Rosen, Allen, or Mayfield. I'm sticking with Allen, though. And then if the Browns do keep four, if they do not take Bradley Chubb to pair on the other side of Miles Jesus sculpted me from clay Garrett, I will be so confused. That or Minkah Fitzpatrick. Get another. You got a guy to lead your offense. Get a guy to help either lead your defense or make life hell for other quarterbacks. Because Miles Garrett is a beast. Bradley Chubb is going to be a beast. So why would you not want to do what the Texans did with Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt and make a force? Except this time you got two young guys that are going to stay healthy, hopefully knock on wood, for a long time. Again, I mean, you just got Carlos Hyde. Why do you want to – I mean, he's just going to be a progress stopper for Saquon. And Dorsey, who took this guy called Kareem Hunt last year in the third round, who is not known to take running backs high – it does not make sense to me, and if they do take him there, I'm going to assume that is an ownership pick. The ownership wanted Barkley.
I just think that's why I think he's Barkley's right now just been like the talk of the town. I feel like he's going to sell jerseys. He's going to bring people to games as much as your quarterback is going to be. He's just a fun player to watch, and they need fun in Cleveland. Make the Browns fun again.
I mean, or just fun, period.
Or just better. Yeah, true. Wow.
Yeah. And shots fired. Five, I do believe that, yeah. I think Nelson will be the first. I think Nelson or Chubb are going to be your first non-quarterback picks. And then Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick, Chubb, or Nelson will be one of the first. Sorry. These three will be the first prospects that aren't quarterbacks taken, I believe. So, yeah, those are my top five, top six. And it's been interesting. I mean, the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes was won by the Vikings. And Ndamukong Suh got cut and isn't on a tour free agency again. He's about to get paid again.
And he's going to go to the Rams, and they're going to have the greatest defense since Jacksonville Jaguars last week.
I mean, the Rams are going to – they are not – part of my French. Max, bleep me out if you have to. The Rams are not fucking around. They got Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and in their secondary now. And it's going to be insane. And it's going to be so much fun.
It's the Dream Team 2.0.
Like, I can only imagine the shenanigans / crazy stuff that's going to happen in that locker room with Wade Phillips especially. It should be a quality reality TV show, and I really hope it happens. But, man. Oh, man, is it going to be an exciting year in L.A. And, I mean, the Chargers even, like, I know they had a down year last year, but if they get Ndamukong Suh and pair him with Ingram and
Bosa?
Joey Bosa,
whew,
Jesus.
Lordy.
I mean, yeah, like, they're going to be insane. And, I mean, thank God. I mean, I'm going to pray for Case Keenum every night because he's going to get mauled, but, man, is it going to be fun. This has been a very fun free agency, more fun than we've had in a long time with the NFL. But
it's
been interesting.
I just think I like what the Colts are doing outside of they're kind of getting some good cheap deals going forward, which I do like. As you said, the Rams are not messing around. Even like the Jags are making solid signings. Oh, the Bears. The Bears.
Bears
will be contending. Not this year. But 2019, they will be not bad.
No,
they might not be good, but they won't be bad.
I love all the moves they're making. I love their new coaching staff. I'm so excited. And the Trubisket, I don't think they're going to do a Jared Goff Rams 2016-2017 turnaround. Because that's the most historic turnaround in NFL history, but it's exciting, and I love it when young talent blossoms. And he's got an incredibly talented wide receiver that you might be familiar with, named Allen Robinson.
I'm a little worried. I love Allen. Don't great guy, great wide receiver. I am a little worried about him because he does have a big injury risk. He has only played one full season so far. So I am a little worried, but
I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, but we'll see. But Mason, I wanted to ask you this. How badly do you think the John Gruden experiment 2.0 is going to go?
So he said that he really wanted to go back to playing football like it was 1998, which was really concerning for me. And the signings that they've made appears to be there holding true to that, because the NFL has evolved so much since then. And you look at the teams that are trying to do that, and they haven't really been able to win a Super Bowl or honestly even be that good. I was so high on the Tennessee Titans. Didn't work. Mike Mularkey was, you know, very against change. He wanted to run the exotic, quote-unquote exotic smash mouth when he had the best college football spread quarterback in history on his team. And look what happened. He got fired, as he should have. And so, I don't know. I think he can be a good coach. I think he can be a great locker room presence, and he's very charismatic and a ton of fun. I'm going to have to wait and see before I give a verdict. I'm not trying to give off like a super hot take on him right now. Just because, you know, he's known as this quarterback guru, and honestly, he was coaching football before I was really into football. So, I mean, and, like, let's be honest here, the reason why he won that Super Bowl with Tampa is because of that effing defense that was already there before he got there. And I'm not trying to take away anything from him, but I'm just trying to make sure credit is given where credit is due. So, I don't know. I mean, do you have a big take on that?
I think it was stupid. Like, you're giving this guy, is it the biggest coaching contract in history?
In the NFL, excuse me. I believe so.
They're giving him ownership in the team. Like, I understand, like, they're going for the long balls, and they're moving. Their fan base hates them.
Well, they're about to. Yeah, it's a 10-year contract.
There's no way. I'm not sure on how the finances of the insert city name here, Raiders, is, but, like, you're giving this guy how much money a year when you could be putting it towards, you know, the players that actually play the game? You've been out of the game for so long. Yes, he's been commentating, but I don't see him. The game has changed, and there's the reason the game changes. Things evolve, things move forward. Like, yeah, there's some things that stay consistent that'll always work, but it's adapt or die in the NFL, and I don't think he's gonna be able to do it. He's been in the booth for too long, I think.
Go back. We'll see. I think the first 8 games are gonna be a reality check for John Gruden, whether good or bad. If he's willing to adapt, then yay. And like, there's so much unnecessary pride in the NFL, and it makes me really frustrated. Just like, I do not know why every single team is not running RPOs like the Eagles did last year. Or at least they might. We could legitimately see that next year.
We're seeing that sort of movement now. Like, I kind of think what the Bears are doing is what the Eagles did for Wentz the last offseason. They gave him weapons to try to give young quarterback the ability.
Yeah, they're spending money, which is good.
Yeah, you need to spend money, you need to do things. Like, that's what, like, the Colts are actually using all their cap that they have to try to go out and make moves.
Yes, and they're getting those young draft picks, or saving up draft picks, young assets, which is good.
So I think there's just some teams that they're winners. There's franchises who know how to build something up and move forward, and then there's franchises that are never going to move forward and never going to figure things out because they're stuck in their ways, or they just don't have I think this year has shown by the Eagles having an amazing GM wins you championships.
Yeah. I mean, and that is one of my favorite questions that I've ever been asked. And somebody asked me, he's like, hey, if you could have 10 years of Bill Belichick or Tom Brady, who would you choose? And I'm going to go with Bill Belichick, because Bill Belichick is the coach and the GM. If you get because a quarterback, yes, you can take a pay cut, but a quarterback cannot make all of these moves that a GM makes. A quarterback cannot design your roster. Yes, he can be the most important, and he can cover up a lot of your flaws, but a GM, most of the time, is the one that is at fault for your flaws or at fault for your strengths. And with Bill being a great coach, knowing when to cut guys, sometimes he does make mistakes. I'm not going to lie. Malcolm Butler's not playing in the Super Bowl. Kind of questionable, but still.
I don't think we know the whole story. I don't think we can judge for that.
There's obviously more to it.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that, you know, it starts from the top down, from ownership, GMing, all the way down. And, yeah, I mean, Howie Roseman, the GM god at this moment.
He's still doing it.
Yeah, I mean,
he got freaking Michael Bennett. We have saved cap space. We signed Nigel Bradham. And then look at the Steelers. There's a reason why they're always good. When's the last time the Steelers didn't have a winning record?
I want to say it was right before they drafted Big Ben.
Yeah, and they made almost no moves the first week of free agency. They're right now, like, they just signed Morgan Burnett to 3 years, $14.5 million. Great deal. They needed a safety. They got one. They signed John Botsick for $4 million, 2 years. Get a linebacker to replace, unfortunately, Ryan Shazier. So I think, as we were saying, there are teams with ownership, coaching, GM situations that are just going to make things work going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's been an interesting offseason. One of the more interesting in a while, and it makes me really miss the NFL, which is something that I didn't think I would say at the end of the year, because this NFL season was exhausting. But
yes, it was.
just from like a fan standpoint, because I really do care about the NFL, but with all the stuff that was going on and just more Goodell drama, the drama with Trump, the Colin Kaepernick situation, and just on and on and so forth. And so many dumb things are being said, so many quote-unquote hot takes that really didn't need to be said, because the NFL is really tricky. And it is a violent game. And, you know, with the whole CTE and just the awareness of concussions that is now available to players and fans as well in the public. And it's just the NFL, this might sound dumb when it comes because it's about a sport with about people hitting each other, but when you talk about the NFL, I think more than almost any other sport is you need to really think about what you say. And just because of the complexity of the game, how there's so many complex schemes, and you have complex defenses and you have complex offenses, but also you have the game itself is so dramatic. And Mason, yes, all sports are dramatic, yes. But you have players getting labeled as thugs, and somebody once told me that they think that almost all NFL players are thugs, and I legitimately got upset about that. That statement got a rise out of me more than many statements in a while have. And to me, that was like, that's someone that clearly does not understand football. And because it's such a violent game, and because, you know, we only get to see most players' eyes, because we do not get to see their faces and a lot of their facial reactions unless they're on the sideline, and the only time that the camera seems to be on them is when they're pissed or sad. And so, I don't know. So this is another tangent I'm going off on. I'm sorry, but, you know, the NFL, there's so much underneath just the surface layer of it. There's so much going on that I think that a lot of people just don't understand, and I even don't understand a ton of. I mean, I don't cover the NFL for a living, but, you know, I strive to understand more about the league because it is a league that I think is very, very important to America. And
it's the reason why it's now, well, I guess college football is kind of now the top, but it's been the top dog for years, and there's a reason why it connects with everybody in some way.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing in America is good football. Not football, good football.
All right.
Anyways, on that, I know that was heavy, everybody. Sorry. But yeah, we've had a lot bottled up for 6 months. Let's briefly talk about the NBA, because I know we're kind of dragging here. Obviously, a lot has happened this NBA season. It's been really exciting. But, Max, I want to ask you, honestly, just the biggest question of this entire NBA offseason. Where's LeBron going to play next year?
Definitely a city that's been trusting certain something. Something called the process for a long time. And now this is going to be the pinnacle, what you've all been waiting for. LeBron in red, white, and blue, playing with a cheesesteak in one hand and the Rocky theme song in the background. He's going to the LA Lakers.
Oh wow, you just turned my ankles into freaking baby food right there and just crossed me up. Yeah, it's possible. I think it makes sense. I mean, just he wants to be a billionaire. He wants to do this. But playing in the West, man, I don't know. That's tough. I think if Paul George goes, and if he goes, and if they get one other guy, now we're getting real interested. I just do not want to see because Lonzo's really starting to get better. His three-point shooting was hot, and it cooled off. But he's getting the speed of the game. He's playing better. He's been a lot of fun to watch. Brandon Ingram's been a lot of fun to watch this year. Julius Randle is being good. Julius Randle, future Maverick.
Oh, please.
But I don't want LeBron in L.A., and I'm not trying to be a hater. I just don't want all the LeBron drama in addition to all the L.A. I mean, that'd be amazing for content. Like, I'm not going to lie. But I want to see them make homegrown talent. Like, I want to see them, you know, do, like, Big Game James and Magic Johnson again with – that's unfair of me to say those two names and say Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball, but I want to see them build something homegrown again, and then they add that one big free agent once they have those two. So I don't know. I want LeBron. If LeBron's going to come here, wait two more years till Lonzo is a star, which I still think he's going to be. I'm not a LeVar fan, and I appreciate Lonzo for what he is, and he plays the game the right way. I do think that the perfect place for LeBron is Philly. And just because he has his physical understudy in Ben Simmons, teach Ben Simmons how to shoot, please. And you've got – he can just breathe confidence back into Markelle Fultz and just have fun with Joel Embiid.
And just, I just don't – I love that. I love it. I just don't too many good things have happened to Philadelphia in 1 year. There's only too many good things that can happen to Philadelphia in a lifetime. And that would use up every little bit of – magic that's left in that city and all the cheesesteaks consumed. It's very interesting that is there any other person in the world who attracts this much attention for where he's gonna play year on year. Like, I feel like almost every year it's been like the decision was probably one of the most watched televised events.
I'm still reeling from the decision. I mean, he got a ton of backlash that he didn't see was coming, and I think honestly that backlash was kind of deserved. And I know it wasn't his intention to hurt Cleveland like that, but yeah, it's still not a good look. But I mean, he's made up now. He's won them a title. They cannot say anything about it. I'm sorry, they cannot say anything bad about LeBron. LeBron did what he did. He beat the best regular season team of all time, even though they were hurt. But he still did it, and banners hang forever. So, I also do not want LeBron drama coming to Philly, and I do not want them to trade anybody for LeBron to come. I do not want Ben Simmons.
Isn't his contract? Isn't he a free agent this year?
Yeah, LeBron has been signing 1-1 deals every year. 1 year, 1 year, 2 year deals, 1 year opt out, for the past couple seasons. And I do not want them to trade anybody for LeBron. And I don't mean like literally like, hey, we'll give you this for LeBron. No, no, no. As in like, he comes in and becomes general manager LeBron. He wants control in the front office. That's what he likes to do. However, sorry, LeBron, you have turned the Cavs' future to shit. And hey, I mean, you got your ring. It worked. It did work. But you haven't been a perfect GM. And I just don't want that to happen to Philadelphia, who has already had to wait for so long. They've already had to trust the process for all these years, suffer through crap basketball, and now they're good. And I don't want LeBron to come for like 1 year. 1 year, LOL. I do not want LeBron to come for 1 year, go to the Eastern Conference Finals, go to the Finals, lose in 7 games, and then leave. I don't want him to do that. I want him just to – I want LeBron to go somewhere for the long haul. I do think it is possible that he goes to Houston. Gross, but I do think that's possible.
I think you've said this before, that basketball is better when LA is good.
Yeah,
when the Lakers are good.
I stand by that. With good Celtics teams, good Knicks teams, and good Lakers teams, the NBA just seems to be – fans just seem to be more engaged in it.
Does he go to New York and revive the Knicks?
No.
Shot down.
I mean, I'd love for it to happen, but no.
Who's winning the finals?
Oh,
that's not Golden State.
Oh, if it's not Golden State Raptors.
Really?
Yeah, they're the ones. Wow. They're looking really good. They got a deep bench. Their coach just changes philosophy. DeMar DeRozan is contributing in ways he has never contributed before.
Drizzy is going to be an NBA champion.
I would love for him to get a ring.
He does have ownership, so I think he would. But I'm going to go H-Town. It's their year.
No!
The beard.
No, they already had the world. No. I'm sorry. I'm being biased. I'm sorry.
I see. It's like the karma still needs to equal out for them. So I feel like it. Like they got won the championship in the for baseball, and I think I could see it happening for basketball because they are a very good team this year.
They are
very good.
If Golden State gets healthy, are you saying that if it's not Golden State that is winning the finals or that it is winning it all, who would it be?
It is going to be Golden State.
Yes, it is. I think Golden State's going to win it all again. I think we're getting worked up for nothing. We're just trying to find storylines because that's what we like to do. People like that. And the best thing that you can do is to not let things like this affect you. And to make it – and while to not forget that stuff like this has happened. But anyways, on that note, Max, it's good. It's been good potting with you again, buddy.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Excited for you to move home and for us to do these pods in person again.
It's what I've always dreamed of. It's the only thing keeping me going day to day.
That's true. All right.
Life is pod.
PC out.